don't know what's wrong with the department, because members are here.
Morning. Okay. I only two from department.
Yes.
Okay. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's the day today. No, ladies, the second one. I think we better start now. But I wanted to raise one or two things to the department. I've asked whether you are ready. You said you are ready, but you are still having a meeting. Department, are you ready?
Yes, Sir President. I'm a follower. Sir, we're ready. We had circulated the presentation last night. But unfortunately, the band couldn't open the presentation. And we now are trying to get IT to hand. I'm not sure if it's possible that I can then take the honorable member through the hard copy. Will that be fine? I mean, I think it's going to be unfair given that if you haven't seen the presentation, you've seen the first time, and taking you through hard copy would be different. Okay.
I wanted to raise exactly what you are saying now. Let's get everybody seated and then we start. May please switch off your mic as well. Department, please, you must correct one thing. It's very disturbing to receive some of your presentation only yesterday afternoon. And then also, we need to find that there are challenges. You own the system doesn't open. I think we procedurally what we normally used to do from our side, we send you our program in advance with the hope that you would send us some of your presentation in advance as well. I think as from now to onwards that thing must be corrected, please. Because we appeal to each and every department who is supposed to come in present to us to prepare themselves in order to allow ourselves to prepare ourselves as well, because we go through this document and we do a lot of references. So in future, may you please send us your documents in advance in future. And then, nevertheless, I don't know whether we can, because yesterday we introduced ourselves, but maybe we'd rather go that route because there are new people at my back who were not present yesterday, so that we can familiarize ourselves to this meeting. I'll start by asking the members to introduce themselves as well. There's other people to get a chance to introduce themselves.
Thanks, Chair. I'm Wisela Jacobs, a member of the committee and a whip of the committee representing the Free State.
Morning, I'm Priscilla Temba, from Mpumalanga, member of this committee.
Good morning, I'm Herman Groenewald, member of this committee and representing the North West Province.
Good then the call request to the department to, applicants that way, from the department to introduce themselves, or before the department. Let me get from the office.
Ben Kali, COVID section, COVID center, COVID section.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, all. Shoaib Nelson, committee section.
Department.
Thanks, Chairperson. My name is Mawethu Vilana, the Deputy Director General, responsible for integrated transport planning in the Department of Transport. I have with me Grant Frederick, our parliamentary liaison person in the department. He's based in Cape Town in our Cape Town office. And then I also have Steve Kodibakwan, who heads the DG's parliamentary office. He's also based here in Cape Town. With regards to the presentation, I must state that I indicated to Ben yesterday that the presentation
will come. We are still introducing ourselves.
I'm Dirk Winterbach from PMG.
I'm Yama Matanyana from Committee.
Tina Peterson, Media Officer, City of Cape Town.
Thank you very much. Over to the department. Today, we are having a briefing by the Department of Transport on work done on the strategy to move coal, sulfuric acid, wood, and other bulk loads of the road network. I think before you start to whatever, I thought that, because this thing is concerning rail in particular, I thought that you were going to maybe have a person also from the affected entity to be with you when you're doing this presentation. But nevertheless, I mean, next time we appreciate if you can have that person to be with you when you're doing this presentation. Then over to you, sir.
Thanks, Chairperson. Before I start on it, that's one of the two issues. The first one is the apology around the late submission of the presentation. And I'm sure you know that from our side, we always send our presentations on time. And I suppose one of the biggest challenges which is the issue around committee. But nonetheless, the apology, I mean, we accept the criticism. In fact, warranted, because as we report to this committee must find time to really go through the material. So that they therefore when we present engage on the matter, and I take the concern is raised by the chairperson on behalf of the committee. The second one is the last point you made around the rail entity. I'm sure you know institutionally we do not own any railway transmit either with under public enterprise. So we made it difficult, but next time we'll attend and give the indication. Because the biggest challenge is that from a policy perspective, there is still a dichotomy because from rail operations and rail ownership, you may want to call it different routes and from, you know, so there may be that challenge. But nonetheless, we will attempt next time to invite the entities responsible. So in the case of entities in the department, we will definitely bring them in. Thank you so much, Chair.
this presentation talks to what we are doing in the department and trying to create the necessary shift of cargoes that we believe are rail friendly and that just on the road network. And you may remember last year this caused a huge storm. We came and presented to the portfolio committee, very frantic, and there was a huge storm caused primarily, maybe intentionally or not intentionally, by misreading some of the statements that we presented in front of the committee. But nonetheless, we will do what we as public servants and officials in the department are meant to do, which is to prepare and present what we think is best for the country going forward. The presentation outline, Chairperson, is that we are going to attend to a number of issues. One is we look at what we term as a problem statement. Problem statement is what we think is the root cause for the problem. Secondly, we'll look at what we refer to as situational analysis, a synopsis, as it were, of what we're going to cover. And we therefore talk about the key trade corridor and what we think the key commodities that move in each of the corridors. And then look at the road and rail market share as it were, or split in the context of the movement of freight in the Republic. Just two issues around challenges facing both the road as well as the rail industry. And then talk to the rest of the matters as they relate to the strategy. The problem statement, Chairperson, is summarized in the following manner. One is the response to deal with the deterioration of the road infrastructure network at all levels, at national, at the provincial level, as well as at the municipal level. And of course, the worst areas are therefore the unclaimed and unproclaimed network where no one can possibly try to maintain or to upgrade. But the second key thing which we've come to this committee and raised a number of times was the fact that the TRC is insufficient and lack of funds. That goes both into construction, into maintenance, into rehab of the road network for it to perform the functions it's expected of it, meant to the rail network to perform the functions that is expected of it. And then the third problem area is, of course, the types of inefficiencies that exist in the entire logistics in the movement of freight. The issue around the very modal choices or intermodal facilities. But the fourth one, therefore, focuses on the inefficiencies in the rail space, which may be or may not be the cause for the shift in most instances of people choosing to use roads. I mean, I'm sure many of you are aware that there's a mining industry, and I've been meeting as well with a number of mining authorities who own operations, who in fact are willing to get majority of what they move to move on rail. But the serious challenge is to busy engaging them on Transnet so that we therefore come up with solutions to saying how do we effectively move truly the freight that is rail friendly. I must emphasize this, Chapter 7. We are not moving everything. The intention is not to move everything. The intention is to move rail friendly cargo. And we define rail friendly cargo in this loosely characterized it as bulk, non-time sensitive, and heavy. So that's what we think is rail friendly. So it's not sensitive to time. It's cargo that we will is heavy and it's bulk. So that's how we loosely define rail friendly.
And the last two areas are around the deterioration of the rail infrastructure network as a result of lack of funds. Of course, I must state that government, through Transnet, is putting in on the rail freight area, beginning the year that's ending now, over the 5-year period, about 59 billion rand that will go in both infrastructure as well as in operations. In operations, meaning the purchase of locals, work on, and the like that necessitate operation of the rail freight sector. And then the synopsis, as I said earlier on, is that what we have seen and what we've noticed is that the road freight sector started expanding and moving and getting into some of the rail friendly cargo just after deregulation in 1989. People must not be fooled and tell you that hey, the railways used to move everything. Yes, of course they moved everything because roads are not allowed to move anything. That's the fact. And therefore, in 1989, there was therefore the deregulation. Of course, informed by a number of things. Response to your just-in-time production processes, which is key that gets our companies to compete and be competitive on a global scale. So there was that. You remember, if there were lines in particular corridors, if there was a rail line moving somewhere else, and a road adjacent to the railway line, trucks were not allowed to move anything. All that, in terms of heavy goods, would move on the railway. And so, those are the kinds of things that, when the deregulation happens, it necessitates an ability for the road sector to now compete with the railway. And as a result of that, a lot of cover is recommended to road from the. Of course, you may find that this was due to some short term, which we talked to in the problem statement. First one may be that the certain efficiency matters, inflexibility of operations, a number of matters. Let me introduce a colleague who just came in. His name is Tiane Reporto, he's the head of communications in the Department of Transport. And as a result of the two, of the analysis that we just gave, you find now that of the general freight business, the road freight sector moves in 7% of that. And then the figures vary from 87 to 80, 81, 83, depending on how you therefore aggregate this number. It would therefore give you a stat that in 2007, total freight movements in the country was 1.3 billion metric tons. 1.3 billion metric tons. That's what this country knows in terms of tonnage. And so then the others in terms of contribution and the like. But if we ever want to contextualize the person in terms of the key arterial corridor, I'll start with the two export lines that I talked about. And the two export lines is where from where you're sitting, Chesterton on to your left, there is a corridor from Station to Saldana. In that corridor, we move what we call iron ore, and that line is referred to as Orex. This is the line. And I'm sure many of you who come from the Northern Cape will know that just north east of this place is a place called Hotel Hell.
we call it hotel, they call it hotel, but it's hotel there. Next to hotel there is the postmaster. In that stretch of no more than 4-5 kilometers, the world's highest manganese deposit, 80% of the world's deposits are there. One of the things we're looking at now is probably create another corridor that leads from there. What has that postman said? We are on the way to Mocha. The second corridor, a non-sport line corridor, is this one, which is yellowish, that goes to Richards Bay. What happens is that it's a consolidation next to Wheatbank. Those of you from Kumalan, Mamtemba, you know most of the Rosbier flat. It's a town next to West Bank and Ermel. That's where consolidation of majority of the coal, that some of it comes from around here, Falvater and Waterberg, as well as some comes around the Palabora area, where we have coal for Africa. So all this gets consolidated and brought their flux and gets shipped, rail, sorry, to Richard Bay. So those are the two key export lines. And rail has no competition there. So we may not want to engage. There's no, the way there is competition is in the other corridor where roads and rail compete. The biggest corridor, of course, is the Joburg Durban corridor. And we attempted to therefore break down what is it that we think would move and what we think the breakdown and split in terms of volume for them. And if you look at that corridor, 50%, 15% of what moves is what is intended, is in for the export. The other is moved by what we think road freight, and we expect 88% growth of this corridor. These are the figures we did in 2005, where we are anticipating, we're trying to respond to say, in 1998, when the department issued what we then called the Moving South Africa document, where are we? And we realized that the growth in 5 years in terms of freight movement between that corridor had quadrupled. In 1998, we expected to move 20 or so, 50 million tons, sorry, in that corridor by 2020. But in 2005, we're already at around 46 or so. So that's the kind of growth we're dealing with. So these, Chairperson and honorable members of the committee, I want to think are some of the key freight corridors. And whatever we do, we will target these key corridors in the shift. If I may give you a stat on the Durban Joburg corridor, there you have about 7,000 trucks a day that move in between that. We have about 7,000 a day now, not 7,000 a day, but you have about 7,000 trucks, I think it's a year or so, that move on this corridor. Over an average of probably 600 minutes. In that corridor. I know, and I'm sure those of you living on that corridor, on anyone, you follow a queue of tracks. As soon as you hit Fandrenian Park, it becomes difficult to overtake, and it becomes a nuisance at the time. Some of these So, our most urgent intervention in terms of the shift chapter would be there. Because this is the corridor that makes South Africa tick. That's where the intervention would be. And this is therefore just a breakdown of commodities that truly move in the various corridors
and how will they categorize these corridors, and the honorable members, because we believe if we are to intervene, we must have a sense of where we are going to focus our intervention. And therefore, this is what we have looked at that move. One of the areas, if I may go back to this slide, that's not showing though, but it's one of the important things, is that in the Northern Free State, which is the south of Gauteng, we have an ever-growing chemical cluster. And we haven't shown that corridor. But it's beginning to take shape and it's beginning to... it's right on both the R-26 and the R-69. I must apologize those of you who don't know the road network that links Gauteng and Joburg. But on the R-26 and the R-59. So a lot is going to be happening. That's a chemical plant. And we also need to respond to that. And then, in asking what is it that you think is suitable, informed by the previous slide, you remember earlier on I talked about time and non-time sensitive cargo. We think the railway is competitive across the in long distance, where you deal with longer distances, any distance that moves beyond 300 kilometers, rate becomes competitive. But secondly, is that if you move high volume, you know, in public transport, we say the railways are the mass mover. Here we talk about high and volume, the bulk move. And then the last thing, therefore, the common type, as I said, we go to the target, which are your heavy goods. Bulk, dry bulk, and then in the middle, we then are saying if indeed we are to do this, what sort of corridor effect do we need to do, and how do we create the necessary corridor, create the necessary justification needed for movement. Therefore, the issue around centralization becomes important. But at the bottom, we then say, what is it that we think is the rail thing, and how do we use rail to compensate and complement the road in a particular corridor? We therefore identify, in our view, your time sensitive and high value materials are seriously the purview and the preserve of the road space. Because those have to do seriously with quick response, quick turnaround time. You know, and therefore, road becomes very competitive, both over short distances. And I'm sure many of you would know, sometimes you hear people talking about the hub and spoke approach. And that first looks at the corridor. The corridor, you've got to have the hub, and then you then have spokes moving from the hub into the periphery and then back. So this is therefore what we then say, in our view, is our long-term marketing. Of course, we as government can't force and change people to choose, but we want to drive them to that. Of course, to the trust, because businesses make choices based on bottom line, and that is fact. We can't change that. So we will, however, attempt to make sure that we get them to move what we think is rail friendly through the railway. This, therefore, is just a breakdown of what moved in 2003 that informed that map. In 2003, we also wanted to show you the goals. In 2003, we moved 900 million tons.
out of the 280 billion ton kilometer, the 280 billion ton kilometer is when you multiply the 900 million tons by the 310, what we call average travel distance, and therefore gives you the billion tons that you're talking about. In that breakdown of 900 million tons, the road moves 720, the rail moves 800. But if you look at your ton kilometers travel, the rail travels a longer average distance than your road. Even though road moves 720 million tons, but the ton kilometers is 180 compared to the 100 million. That has been moved to over 100, in terms of 180 million tons. And that's therefore the breakdown every year in terms of movement. And then in 2004-05, was that we're now trying to look at what increase happened. If you look at in 2005, we had a 205 million ton dam, so that the economy and the entire transport network moved 200 million tons more. Of that increase, only 5 million went to the railway. That's just to show the amount of it, and that's ridiculous. Out of 200, only, if you go back to this line, you see 900. And then the next slide is 1.1. So there was just purely a 5 million ton increase. And therefore, this is, of course, therefore the breakdown. And these are the 10 kilometers travel. 10 kilometers are your average distance multiplied by weight over that particular distance. And then you get your 10 kilometers. This is generally used for costing and getting to get a sense of distance travel and where if you are to make any form of intervention or to target intervention from outside. And then these, therefore, are the figures for 2006. And you see between 2005, 2004, 2006, you then have an additional 400 odd million increase. Of that, the railways were able to attract only 11 million tons. So the situation in Chapatin is dire. And those of you who come from Mpumalanga, which is the heartland for electricity generation and movement of coal, understand this very well. Because the entire coal grid network is crumbling. But of course now we are intervening. If you look at R50, your R23, what's the other one? Some part of N17, some part of N4, but we are intervening and we are getting ESCOM involved in the process. As well as Sandra, making sure that we upgrade and upscale, so that we therefore upkeep the entire coal network. By the same time, we're also getting in Transnet stage to get involved. So, this is the reality that indeed we face. 2007, the same thing. But let me just now go to what we say are our key challenges. That therefore would inform, because we moved from the problem statement, now we say what indeed are the challenges facing the two key modes. We say one of the key challenges that our road infrastructure network has seriously damaged and we can't afford it. It becomes expensive to maintain because of its heavy and intensive use, coupled with overloading. But secondly, as a result of the number of trucks in the road network, this thing results in congestion, in high number of accidents, as well as it results in serious pollution. And so, use of roads for movement of cargo that are not designed for roads results in unintended consequences on the use of that road. But as you saw in the statistics I just gave you, there are seriously high stage volumes on our road network. And this, we of the view, is not sustainable. We can't sustain it. We'll get to a point where we just can't maintain the road. So you've seen presentations before which are set on order of members by Sandral and by the department around how the infrastructure network across the three spheres, at municipal level, at provincial level, at national level, is seriously taking a tolerable amount of freight movement by truck. And then the other key challenge is that we seriously have been insufficient rail capacity. And at the heart of our rail policy and rail strategy is exactly the same as that. One is that we know transit freight rail cannot and would not be in a position to absorb the entire capacity that would come from the road. If we are, let's say, tomorrow we decide, not coal shall move by rail without us trying to bring in additional capacity outside of transit freight rail. At the heart of this is that the debate around saying, do we need, is there a space and role for private sector to come in and place it? And in our view, firmly believe there is. Because we can't afford. Not only can we not afford the investment, but we can't afford to have rail infrastructure deteriorating, road infrastructure deteriorating as a result of this. So we therefore believe, and firmly believe, we want to look at the role that private sector can come to. And as you all know, there is serious aging rail infrastructure. The last serious bit of investment was made around 30-40 years. All we're trying to do is do maintenance and trying to rehab. But of course, now with the investment coming from government into this space, we are now seriously looking at investment. We haven't put on a new line in the network. And then lastly, chairperson, is the issue around the lack of integration across the world. If you look at it from a logistics perspective, when people require service and service provision and efficiency, they don't care what mode you use. But all they care about is the efficiency with which and the visibility of the goods in the supply chain. Supply chain assumes that there is a seamless integration and movement of freight across the various modes. These are for chapters and some of the, in the exercise we did in 2005, found and identified that these are some of the reasons why people want to leave the railway. And if you look at here, none of the highly listed issues involve price. It's not about price, it's about services, it's about investment, it's about lack of focus and customer focus, and a number of issues that has nothing to do with that. So it is clear that if in fact we can get the railway working, we would first reduce the cost of doing business in this country. So so clearly in these issues being raised here. As a result, people think the reason why they decline the race is as a result of this. In us, therefore, seeking to find solutions, to therefore come up with what we think are some of the key objectives, and how we therefore begin to address issues, and what we then say are some of the strategic programs coming out of this exercise. Let's create an efficient, effective, integrated logistics. And no longer look at it from a mode perspective. Of course, you can't run away from modes because in themselves, they've got to be efficient and then the competition within modes. But the overall right factor is that the entire chain must be seamless, must be efficient, and must be effective. And I will say, let's create an efficient and integrated transport logistics system. But second is that let's enable transfer of appropriate commodities to other modes. This is the shift we're talking about. And can only be realized through policy, through investment in the rail space, through dealing with the issue around the carbon tax participation. Because government and the entities would not be able to afford the amount of investment that are required. So this is what we term our key strategic program that would help us get to the ideal state. And I'm stressing the ideal state. And therefore, from a policy perspective, this is what we think are some of the key tracks that need to inform our intervention. The first one is a clear rail industry model. Of course, that model will be in the policy process that we are leading, the railway policy process. We have a draft green paper. We will soon be going out and engaging a number of people. Linked to that, we think that RIC is an intensive investment program, which is happening. But secondly, the issue around access and competition. Accessibility is defined in two sections. One, access to market, but of course the other one is access so that our people have services so that South Africa can compete within itself and then the serious movement of trade. But the last one is of course the issue around regulation. How do we then manage the space in a manner that does not exclude people? And then the second policy track was the issue around the implementation of rail revitalization program, particularly around branch lines areas. I mean, there are a number of branch lines in each of the provinces. I can mention a number. I think that the members from Pumala and the East and Northwest. In the Northwest, you see this branch line, there's a number of, there's a cluster of branch lines that move from Western, there's a cost there, goes into Krugersdorp. And there's that Krugersdorp line that moves Krugersdorp, moves across the cost there, or across Mariko, going through to Ramashaban. In Pumalanga, we have a number, particularly around the citrus producing area. We have one that comes from citrus plus from Camp Leyden all the way to Komati Port, all the ones that come from the eastern side, Batla, you know. So there are a number of branch lines that could be used and line for in the Free State. We have the main cluster that we are dealing with. So we are looking at means to say how do we use those branch lines to intervene and make sure that they attack some of the cargoes that ought to be attacked. And then the last two, of course, the other one is for us to be in a position to do that, we've got to seriously improve the technology. We are using a 1906 technology.
in our railways and we need to be improving that. We've lost 5 revolutions in the rail development phase. We can't lose this thing. Please. We can't. We've lost 5. And I'm sure if John Foster can wake up, we would not get lost in our own network. We still, the rail network that was still remains slow. So, I think the moral is, may his soul rest in peace, but the moral is that we haven't changed anything. We need to seriously change. Last is a person, we firmly believe there is going to be a need to the road for an active state involvement in the facilitation of investing, rather than for facilitation. And the strategy, of course, as I said, should develop branch line, facilitate your mom and pop type operations, what we refer to as micro enterprises, cooperatives, a comprehensive strategy for safety and security. I mean, we all know about the issue around cable theft, but as well about the number of incidents and accidents that happen on our road. Way forward, we firmly believe that there is going to be a need to reverse this. And how we reverse this is that we need to seriously invest with sufficient capacity on the railway. But secondly, we would need, as a result of the formalization and finalization of the green paper, we would need to do that for engage a number of people. We also have our road strategy that's been finalized. So through the road strategy, we've been categorized the various types of commodities that we think shouldn't be moved on the roadside, and through the railway strategy and the railway policy, what is that we think is very expensive. These things complement each other. And then the third area was the issue around the establishment of the external transport economic regulator, which is underway, which therefore seeks to consolidate all economic regulations. The reason why we want economic regulation is that if we have multiple players and we have a monopoly player, there is room for abuse. And we want to monitor and manage that abuse. And then lastly, chairperson, the green paper, we're now at the green paper state, and now we are going to be consulting, and this is one of the key stakeholders in our view that ought to be consulted with this. This is a repetition, but one of the things we want to do, which we think is a process issue, we'll launch this green paper formally and then undertake stakeholder consultation. Then have the necessary cluster and cabinet process, and then have the necessary parliamentary process in which involves engaging this body. And then lastly, of course, is the formal adoption of the policy by cabinet for each to then implement it. Out of this policy, clearly we're going to have a couple of things which talks to the legislative program. One of our chamber you asked yesterday. One of the things we would want to put forth is the Rail Act, the Economic Regulation, Transport, Civil Transport Economic Regulation Act. But of course, those are going to be output of the white paper process. They may not come next year, but for sure they will come the other year. And thank you so much, Secretary. And again, our apologies.
Thank you very much for the presentation. But nevertheless, I'll give it to the members to start maybe to ask questions. You see, with this presentation, maybe some people, they can take it light as if we don't know where we are heading to. and we are fully aware that we didn't mean that all the, I mean, from your input, that all the responsibilities must be shifted to railway line. But our concern is the ongoing dilapidated infrastructures. And also, without any alternative, while from ourselves we see there is a contradiction, if from your own presentation, when you say, for an example, you said there is a page where you spoke about insufficient maintenance and the road network and lack of funds. You see, to me, inefficient of rail, I think it's page 3. How can we say it's insufficient of rail at the same time? All of us who are fully aware that the infrastructure are dilapidating. I mean, they are getting old and it is not repairable whatever. And you said there is a lack of funds. Funding what? While there's none. There are lots of railway lines which I can take you, in particular like in Mpumalanga. I'll put an example, the railway between Bethal and Mahaswan. It's going through the farm. Some of the farm owners, they just dig, they use what you call it, for furniture. Mm-hmm. Some of the tops, they use them for furniture. Some of the metal ones, they use them for feeding their cattle, whatever. But we were saying that we are lack of funds. Lack of doing what? Where? That's where we want an explanation. That's among of the main reason why we requested you to come and explain. And also, another contradiction, you see what is of interest in one of your presentation on page 5, while you are talking about this corridor. Myself, I was born in Bethal. That center alone is 7 degrees. All of the roads are supposed to be revamped because of high usage of trucks. Because of high usage of trucks. That's why my colleagues, Wabu Jacob, yesterday spoke about potholes and the like. This is no more potholes. I don't know what can I call it. Can I call it? Allow me to say mkoti holes, because they're very big, more than the holes. Swimming pools. I know. But when you look at your drawing, indicating someone else, but in a reality, around Bethal, that era, Whitbank, Middleburg, Bethal, Belfast, MLO, Crazy Smear, go to the power station up until Machuba. That's where there are a lot of accidents as well. There's no railway which can reduce those particular things. There's none. And the question you are throwing here, I don't think that you have covered that, but nevertheless, I'll give it to the colleagues to come, start and ask some questions, because to me, I will come again. And last, before I give it to them to open, yes, I agree with the alternative which they've contributed by ESCOM, by starting to provide with the conveyor belts. I think that was another strategy to try to help you, because I think from our side, transport doesn't have a plan. That's the reality. Transport doesn't have a plan to minimize our concerns in our route. Members, I'll give you an opportunity to ask some questions. Mr. Jacobs, followed by Mama, followed by
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I want to start my input with what I said to Transnet last week, the week before last, when we were in PE, to say the railway system, it collapsed during the era of apartheid. And when we came into power, we did not have a plan to address those challenges. And you are responding to that when you say 1989 there was deregulation. But the problem that I have, since 1994, it's 2012, we are displaying. There is no actual practical things that we are doing. I think we should be talking about phases. To say we have completed phase one, we are on phase two, we are about to go to phase three. And what are the challenges in phase one, phase two, and so on? What you are presenting to us here, it is still a plan. What we are still going to do. And the problems that we have, they are now. That must be addressed, and they are not waiting for us for the future. Because whatever we do, we need to be competitive to the private sector, because what is happening now here, everything has been taken by the private sector. And we are the government. We should be addressed the needs of our clients, those who will be doing business with us. The other concern that I have, you have the capacity to employ researchers to come up with all these documents. And I don't know how, until when we'll be busy planning as we are doing now. Because people out there, they are not looking at planning. They want something which are practical. And now it's 17 years, and we are still planning. As I said yesterday, that we don't have a long-term objective, and certainly you are now that we are having a master plan. And also, here also we are still planning. I don't know. Maybe I may sound pessimistic, but this is not encouraging. And from what the presenter said, I'm sure you have been long in this department. From what you are quoting, roles and so on and so on and so on, it shows you have been long in this department. And by now, we should have addressed all these problems with the experience that you have. But still, we are not addressing the things.
Honourable Mama Chema.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Before you speak, welcome Mama Pita, Honourable Member Mapicha. As I indicated yesterday that with us members we are sharing members who are involved in a lot of committees as well. Welcome Mama Mapicha. Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you. I'll start mine on the way forward. I think Honorable Jacob raised my mind. Definitely, I think maybe say your presentation, but I'm released. You know, we're going to go and release. We were there yesterday. We are going there today. It's just to, you know, this is 2012. From 2009, if you can tell us, you've been in the way forward. Next year is 2013, and 2014 is just near the corner. What are you going to say? What are we seated around, Honorable Chair? What are we going to say to the people of South Africa? What has the Department of Transport done? Because if I look at this way forward, higher freight demand and insufficient capacity of the railways has led to road becoming the default choice of land transport, and this needs to be reversed. When did you recognize, realize that this needs to be reversed? When did you start? Definitely, Chairperson, this is really, you can't come and tell us the way forward This is 2012, from 2009, 2010, 2011. This is 2012. What have you been doing? If you come in to tell us now that we need to reverse, you can't really come and tell us we need to reverse. The grassroots fight strategy being finalized, really, your way forward to me, Chairperson, and Bona and Jemoguchi department, you set up, you see now, we market term by issue. They mind the CCI, Rastwael Nazi. On page 13, he spoke something about 2005. I think, I still ask myself, if you tell us about 2005, but this period, nothing has been, he's still telling us the way forward. I also go with Chairperson, it's like now we could say, can we go now to the site to go and see for ourselves so that we see what we see? Because normal rule are possible, are what that you are mentioning. There's nothing that is happening. There's nothing that is happening. And we are sitting here, Tina, as members of parliament, calling you to come with this beautiful paper. Beautiful papers, and we sit here with bonsai, with Kombama drawings there. This is really terrible. I must say, it's unacceptable that we must come and say the way forward. Only again, we're still with this fourth term. I'm disappointed, Chairperson. Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I feel very the same as all of the previous speakers this morning. What I want to say is we take notice. Each and every time we can come and sit here and we say we take notice, because you know the next year it will be the same thing. And I'm echoing what the previous members said. And I think if we get at the time that we must start cracking the whip from Parliament side into the department, into all the stakeholders on our systems. Because we've had these workshops, and a lot of people was there, and they spell out how are we going into the future with the rail and everything. But it fears me, and I asking the question yesterday, what happened to all the corridors? And we are working on a corridor from Shishen to Saldana, and there's an extension from Otis Hell to Port Elizabeth, but it means for me nothing, because that's a rural area, that the railway you're putting in there, I can't see that it will mean it can't create more jobs, because the shortest way from Otis Hell to Saldana is through Saldana, the export, that port there. And to take it all the way to Port Elizabeth, I can't think that it's more expensive to get that equipment and all the magnum, what is it they have export from that site? Manganese. So it will be more expensive to get it to Port Elizabeth. That is a feeling I've got. And the distance is much longer. So I don't know what is the benefit to develop that rail line at this stage. What about I think you just touched on it when you made mention of branch lines. Are you looking to privatize these lines, or what is the meaning of that at the end of the day? Because there is a lot, especially in our rural areas, a lot of these lines who's not working at this stage, and that's also expensive, and there's no job creation in our rural areas. I don't know, it feels to me we are working in circles at this stage. What about the developing of more pipelines in South Africa to get the trucks from our roads. I think that is maybe that is an opportunity to look into developing more pipelines for, because there's a lot of trucks who's transporting fuel and these things. We can get it into pipelines. And then I also want to know what about our rail lines into our neighbor countries? How many of our rail trucks are in the our neighbor countries, the engines and all that kind of thing? Is it useful to use it in that countries? Maybe we must bring them back to South Africa so that we can use them in our own country to create jobs and all that kind of thing in South Africa. I don't know. Jay, I'm worried. I'm really worried. Thank you.
Yeah, let me come up here.
Grant, I might have you inside because I wanted to take note of it, what I wanted to say. You see, maybe from the presenter you underestimated the topic we gave you. The topic says, the briefing by the Department of Transport on work done and strategy to move coal, sulfuric acid, wood and other bulk loads. You see, let me echo what was raised by my colleagues. I'll start from saying this. As I indicated earlier on, I'll repeat it again, you know. It doesn't help to give us a plan without cost. Cost it. If this was your plan, why didn't you cost it as well? Because you talk about lack of funds, but you don't talk about costing. You get my point? This empty. And if you go to, I'll start by page 3. As I indicated, it is a real routine, a real infrastructure. And then again, on page, I think page 13, no, not 13, page 12, you speak about aging rail infrastructure. That's why I'm asking myself, if you talk about funding what? The aging one or the aging one? You don't have a plan of railway. There's nothing, zero, none. And again, as I indicated, I can't remember you from your side to have an educational program to teach kids and people not to vandalize what is left, what is there. I'll put an example. It is alleged that people are sabotaging the railway in some corners. As I indicated earlier on, some farmers are cutting the blocks for furniture, whatever. Some people to sell old metal. What do you do in order to protect us, what you have? And also to teach people not to build their informal settlement next to the railway line. Don't have anything. And again, what is worrying me, on page 13, there's a place where I want you. You see, you said lack of customer focus. To me, there is a contradiction as well. If I can put an example of 2010, do you still remember what happened 2007, 2006, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, until 2010? The government was leading by building the infrastructure towards the stadium and the transport and other things. Then here comes the people who are talking about the customers. Here's the customers. Who are the customers? The customers, it was easy for them to get 1, 2, 3 because of the thing done by the government. But now, let's say for argument's sake, you spoke about on page 6, commodities. You spoke about a lot of commodities which are supposed to be transported by railway. It's very difficult. That's why some of the factories and the competition inside the country and the people are coming outside. It's different. People from inside are running away because they don't have cheaper means.
because we believe that rail is going to be cheaper for them to transport their maize, to transport whatever it might be. Funny enough, the previous government, they had, the railway was working. Rail was working. Because, as I indicated to you, that our topic was very straight. That tell us that what are you doing in order to bring back that culture so that we minimize some of the trucks from now on. We know that it's not 100% going to take them out. But I think there's nothing. And also another contradiction with the very same transport department. Yes, there are new routes which have been built. But for how long are they going to stay to sustain if we continue using those massive transport on the very same road? And from your side of planning, the rail which you're talking about, which is aging now, for how long? What is their stage? Time frame? What is their period as rail? Some of them, they are old as Methuselah in the Bible, very old, before Seth was born. They are very, very old, these railways which you're talking about, which are saying the lack of money of maintaining them. Maintaining what? And I was happy, I'll repeat what I said earlier on. The center in Govanbiggy, the whole Govanbiggy municipality in Likwa and Sukalikwa and Gangala, and go to the part of the Kukuni, that's where they need lots of trucks because of mines which were there. There's no single railway. There is in Witbank, which is going straight, but across like Arau, Vasavesa, nothing. Nothing. Why there are lots of trucks? And you forgot to do one thing. Besides the issue of what you mentioned, of potholes, some of these roads they've got mist. Very dangerous sometimes when it's raining and early in the morning. Because of the traffic which is there, while we do have an alternative, which is rail. And to me, as I indicated, I'm a little concerned. I think what we ought to do as this committee is that maybe early next year, we call them again. We call them. Or let me say not next year. Not next year. Let me say very soon. Let us call you very soon so that you can give us full details what is happening. Because this, as your mama indicated, is dumb. It doesn't talk. Doesn't say anything. You know, if you call back during those days, also there are a lot of challenges besides the all these colds and what. People wanted to this maze. There's problem of maize and what, how to transport them. In order to rectify it very soon, we must call you so that you can give you proper things. Because this one is very silent, doesn't talk, and is not costed. If we wanted to help you, because we are the ones towards the budgeting and what, we must know what we voted to or what you are voting for. But if it's silence, at the end, you take us with a surprise, it should be very difficult to support whatever might be. Because our intention is to see the development taking place. We don't want to see ourselves regretting for our terms in parliament. Because even ourselves, we don't want to be haunted by our own history. That during our history era, during our era, we never contributed in this thing. No, it's wrong. I'm requesting you. Without, from my side, I would suggest like that. That, no, we can't just point the finger to the people, to the customers, that they lack of focus. Why? We don't give them infrastructure to work on. Because if they were there, I'll put an example. Do you still remember, Mama, when we used the PE? There in PE, there is an infrastructure. Yes, that argument you can bring it. That no. Investors, they don't come because of 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Only again from their side, challenge how to market yourself in order to bring investors or to invest, to bring people to come and assist. But with this one, Agula Lutu Baba. Thank you. Good day, Mwana Baba.
Thanks, Chair President. I think the I still have fundamental problem. And I think let's discuss it. And let's be honest. The first fundamental issue, before I respond to the issues raised, transport is not responsible for the railway, running of the railway. We are not. And let's put that up front. You know that, we know, we are not. And it's going to be difficult for me to commit to you.
Oh, okay, full code. Let me cut to the ma. I think it's between us, because the other section is on the committee. If come to a push, we mustn't put a date now. I think it's upon us to call a joint meeting. Because if we don't call a joint meeting, one will point the finger to this one will point the finger to this one. Because even then, with your own presentation, if it was posted maybe somewhere, you indicated that you lack of so much funds, we are going to understand it. But here, why you mention that you lack of funds of doing 1, 2, 3? Still a challenge. But with this one, it will be covered because ourselves were able to sit and we can call you and call them, those who are responsible for this. Okay.
Chair, we've done costing. I think it, the issue was, what is your strategy to move from road to rail? And that's what we're responding to. We're not responding to cost. We've done that. In fact, a representation that was done to the platform indicating exactly what it is that we need in each of the lines that we need to invest in. I mean, that costing has been done. So I think the issue probably is that there is going to be a need for a discussion very soon, I would suggest, so that we then take you through the plan and what we are doing. Because here is more than a plan. Now, absolutely, let's talk to those who are not me. As those who are not me, this is exactly what, and we've been genuine, and this is our bona fides. I'm hired and employed to make sure this happens. And those who are not me. All I'm saying is that, truly, if that's the feeling, I honestly apologize. But the reality is that, one, from our side, we are here to make sure that we develop plans and policies, DTE and Transnet. And this is an institutional arrangement, all of us know. DTE and Transnet own the railways and manage and run the railways. But our view from Transport, we say, this is what we see and ought to have the future look like. And that's what you want, and that's what we want to see. So that's the first thing. But the second thing, and I want to raise the change of process. I said earlier on, let's not be fooled and think the railways were working during our party. They were never working. Because, as I said, we talked about the deregulation. Prior 1989, there was a regulation that said this shall be moved by railways. We had made bonds that collected meat from all of. Let's talk about three states that has made trials. Not one single truck moved a ton of meat. That's not because the railways were working. They were not working. They were forced to move them by railways. As simple as that. So they were not working. Let's not fool ourselves and say the railways were working during our party. They never were. Because if indeed they were working, we would not, as the Honorable Jacobs was saying, found a crumbling rail infrastructure. Because people would have been in a position to invest in infrastructure, people would have been in a position to invest in operating equipment. Post-1994, the railways, there has been little investment prior to what we've been doing now as government, putting a massive amount of money into this. So I think the issue of trying to say is they have never worked in the railway. They have never worked.
So that's the first one. But the second one, I think, when we say there is insufficient funds, is that because of competing needs in government, and that's why we say we want your support here, because of competing needs in government, the amount of money that are available.
But I use that just in mind.
Thanks, my son. Because of competing needs in government, we require investment outside of government, which is the private sector. We want the private sector to come in. But you have a law, the Legal Protection Act, that has not been amended. It's a fact. Even if he wants to bring Usipho or Anaya Chempumalan, he can't do it. So that's why I'm saying, in us dealing with the current challenges in the railway, would need a serious paradigm shift, would need support, and we need to bring people in and invest in the railway. Because government can't invest alone. It's not going to happen. And that's why it will continue to say there are challenges. Because in fact, the nature of budgets and financing is that they are competing needs. You therefore find what you think are priorities now for this term, and then the rest will follow suit. The second issue is around planning. Department of Transport and Infrastructure Department will always plan, because you can't not plan to deliver. We will plan, and the policies that will then be implemented. And so, here, that we are presenting here, is beyond planning now. We are implementing. We are moving with implementation. That's why we say the discussions around the policy that's going to come. One is the issue around the sector participation. That's why we say we'll be bringing in the Railway Act, because at present, the Legal Succession excludes anybody other than Transport to operate on the current railway line. So, we've got to come up with a new act that therefore supersedes or overrides the existing Legal Succession to therefore create a new regime in the railway. So, we've got to first approve that act. But it's in draft stage, it's following the development of the policy as well. Once that policy becomes white tape and approved, will therefore have this act coming through this post in this August body of Parliament. With respect to Chair, when have we realized that this thing needs to be reversed? We've realized a long time ago. But again, the Department of Transport is not an implementing agency. We do not implement. We can't. By law, by constitution, we can't implement. Not because we don't want to implement. We can't. We have a department tasked to implement. We all know these things. That's not happening. We as a Department of Transport would not implement. That's impossible. We can't. We can't do it. By law, not because we don't want to. I mean, we all know what the constitutional mandate of the Department of Transport is. Unless, you know, so we have long realized it, we've put plans in place, but it hasn't been implemented. The third issue, Chair, is that, as I said, I must apologize if the sense is that the plans have not been, we have run costs of what it would cost to rehabilitate the branch line network, where we think ought the investment ought to do and ought to go. But I think what this raises, Chair, and I think it would be nice if you may call us with the Department of Public Enterprises, is to discuss the issue around the institutional arrangement, because the bottleneck is up. We may chat around the issues, but the real bottleneck is about the current institutional arrangement as entrenched by the Constitution. So we therefore then deal with it, because in the final 9 group, the 9 pagas, man, keep on the man charge. Just to go back, because you're not dealing with the court. Taking Golube out, I'm not sure that was too mad. Thanks, Chester. You see,
before we could come to a conclusion, you know, there are these things which are, you must clarify us, and we give it to you. It's very worrying, like you are indicating that it really never went. It's very worrying from my own mouth. And then again, as I indicated with Umama Temba, because some of the things fall in her self-committee, that we want to encourage the interdepartmental. I don't know whether you meet with the other departmental. You know why I'm raising it? Because you realized, among members were asking you, you said you realized it long ago. Yeah? But I don't think that you tried to call the interdepartmental to discuss about the matter which is overlapping to you. Because if you have done that, maybe it was going to empower us to first check what is due for us. Because our responsibility, among our responsibilities, besides of oversight, is the issue of the budget to make our recommendations. And also, to make sure that this Lomkhakha law does due justice. For an example, there was a talk which was given by the president of this country last year about the issue during the sauna, that he promised that 500,000 people must have jobs, meaning that each and every entity or section in the department must make sure that they create 1-2-3. In this regard, I thought that some of this was going to contribute to job creation. As long as we don't have a plan, it won't give us the job creation. But if we do have a plan, it will give us a plan. Then the fire is some worries. I won't go deeper to that one. And I don't want anything to say either. If it really never worked, it doesn't work. Why do we continue with it? Why do we continue with it? Because it doesn't work. But I believe that, I repeat again, if maybe you are having programs of interdepartmental, because, for example, ministers, they do have MINEX and the like, to consult with the MECs in the provinces and the like. Correctly so, to minimize such problems, because some of the things are falling to that way, that some of the things are falling that way, in order to encourage some of the MCs to do justice to meet with other section or entities. But nevertheless, I've noticed Babu Jacobs.
Yeah, Chair, I just want to echo what you said. We belong to one government, which has many departments. I think it's proper that there must be synergy between this department. If you find that your department has a connection with another department, there must be that interaction. So you would be wrong to say this does not follow me, it belongs to that department. Whereas there is a linkage between the two departments. I think it's crucial what you said, that there must be that interrelationship between the departments, so that whatever is wrong, it can be corrected in those meetings of those two departments. The other one, it is with regard to legislations and acts, because there are acts, as the President says, that are a stumbling block. Why don't you bring us the amendments to those acts? We cannot live with those acts, whereas we see they are a stumbling block to our progress. So if it needs to be changed, it must be changed. If we have to make new laws, that would be in favor with what we want to do. It would be correct. Because at that time it was correct for the railway line to say no maize will be transported by trucks. It will be transported by rail freight in order to boost the farmers. So what's wrong with us if we want
to improve the lives of our people or even the business people. I think we need to be biased. Some of them need to be biased to what we want to do. So it can't be wrong to say you find something wrong from there, you don't act. And I think also on this issue, which you said we need discussion, I don't think there's time for discussion. It's time for implementation. Time for discussion is long, it has long passed. What we want now, it is action. Something which is practical, which is happening on the ground. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've asked several questions regarding development of rail lines and I haven't got any answer. I'm asking questions about the privatization of rail lines, development between different corridors, development of pipelines. I haven't got any answer, and especially rail lines into our neighbor countries as well. That is all some, and if there's proper planning, I think you are able to give me some answers on these questions. Thank you very much.
Before I close it, I will try to do like this, you know. Honourable members, I think as we indicated, there is an alternative means by conveyor belts and also pipe. You know, there is a pipe, gas pipe from Mozambique, which minimized a lot of trucks. Because if you can check the load, how many trucks are supposed to be there carrying those gas from Mozambique to Suffolk? There are alternatives, but our challenge is this one, real one. You see, with maize, we're just pushing it with maize. We know that maize, the small scale of maize, maybe from the farm to agri, they used to call the OTK, the short distance. But there is a big one. How do you carry maize, for example, to Limpopo, to Cape Town? See, that is our argument, because some of these trucks are causing unnecessary traffic. And we mean it, and we'll very soon, I don't know when, we'll meet so that we can request you maybe to come together with the other people concerned. But nevertheless, we are encouraging you. I think it was also your responsibility to do an interdepartmental meeting so that you can be empowered. But from our side, I like to thank everybody. Oh, before I close it.
Before you close, I think just to put it on record, we have to understand that these interdepartmental meetings are chaired by the minister, the two ministers. We meet and engage in interest. So there is a platform where both the Minister of Transport and the Minister of Public Enterprises meet and discuss this matter. And of course, I agree there's going to be a need for and the cluster system in government is meant exactly to deal with some of the synergies and we process those things. But it doesn't remove the constitutional impediments that we have. And so, my submission is let's if we can be in the next debate, let's honestly and truly debate these matters, because there is a constitutional impediment that says Department of Transport shall do that, Department of Public Enterprise shall do this. The second one is you have these institutional matters where Transnet is owned and managed under Department of Public Enterprise. So there's that. And of course, with the legislation, I take the comment raised by the Honourable Chairperson. Of course, we are bringing, as I said, these amendments post the approval of the white paper. Because if we have to bring them here before the approval of the white paper, we are now putting the cart before the horse. As I said, the drafts are already there. But we therefore want to use the Rail Act as the basis to therefore deal with the Legal Succession Act as the Act now. Just to respond to the issues raised by Honourable Funavar around the staying from Hotel to PE. What we're saying is that it's an option. I didn't say it's going to happen, because in the meeting with the mining houses and everybody else, including Transnet people, is that you may want to move it through PE, because you can also move it through station. But if you to move it through station and you have a capacity of about 80 million tons of manganese ore that ought to come out a year, that line there to station may not be in a position to carry that, because it's one single line. What it means is got to have loops, and therefore you have loops every 300 meters, and therefore becomes an efficient operation when it is a well-cut benchmark. The issue around branch line, the strategy to deal with branch line, again, same. Finalized, now incorporated into the white paper process, is now the paper stage. It's done, it's there. But now we are now finalized. As I said, we'll now take the green paper as paper to begin the consultative process. So that is done, that is there. To the extent that Transnet, its concessioning model was formulated and based on what we said the objectives of the branch line strategy ought to be. So it will deal with that. The issue around developing more pipelines, as members know, it's not a responsibility, okay? I'm not passing the bar. I'm not the responsibility of the Department of Transport. It's the responsibility of the Department of Energy, because it's another constitutional impediment. We as the Department of Transport have no role to play in the issues around the development of pipelines, nor do we manage them. Nor do we have a constitutional obligation to discharge in that regard. We do not. I mean, the line from Mozambique to Secunda was a private sector initiative. Of course, that initiative was supported by our government. Like you have the line now, the pipeline from Devon up to the reef that's going to push petroleum products coming in. So it's these institutional arrangements and these constitutional imperatives and that seriously create a bottleneck in the system. So this is not a duty problem, this is a system problem. Therefore, that's what Chapter, I think, we need to look at. Lastly, with regard to rail lines that are in our neighboring country, they are, in fact, we are looking at getting Transnet involved in some of these operations, because for the integration and for Africa to trade with itself, there has to be regional integration. So these lines, as to the number of trains and locals on the neighboring countries, I have no idea what the number is. And I don't think they are taking locals that they could put in the operations that they are currently doing. I'm sure those are rehabilitated and zoom on the locals that would not be suitable for the operations, the heavy haul operations in both the export line as well as in the general freight business. So again, thank you so much for having afforded us the opportunity. I will urge honestly and plead with the community to them, let me to the Department of Public Affairs come here both, because we all know the constitutional obligation of each of the departments. Because, I mean, I'm sure you'd not ask DPE why aren't you coming up with a railway policy. They can. But with that, I thank you so much and thank the members of the committee. We will, from our side, come back. I mean, if you want the cost plan, that is, there's going to be a need to discuss it with and understand what is it. Because sometimes the paper conveys the cold message, not necessarily what is in the person's mind. If we have the opportunity to sit with the committee, we want you to come and present on this matter. We'll then present and cost them, because we costed the entire society with that. But we costed, and, you know. I mean, here I have a presentation that we made to the plant, just by way of example. We know what each of the lines will cost, you know, the acquisition of locals,
how we want to ramp up investment, what we want to target over the medium term period, the amount of money that has been allocated and approved to deal with the issue that I'm saying. When I say they've never worked, I mean they've never worked. That's why we're busy now trying to deal, because we realize the railways are key for development. And therefore, in us dealing, making sure that we move and shift the cargo, railways got to be the backbone at mass movement. Thank you so much. And I must apologize if, in fact, we as a department, we've been seen as what really is done at me in this. I honestly apologize.
Okay. You see, before I close it, I think I was closing it and then started to open it. And there is a thing which I wanted to correct, also on record. These members are very much clear on what they are doing. And it was purposely when we requested what we have requested from you. And by saying that, I wanted to highlight that we are very much clear about the constitutional impediment. But very clear. It mustn't be seen as if we are not clear on what we are doing. We are having a full team with our researcher and with our contact advisor, whatever might be, I can call it. We are very clear on what we are doing. It's not by mistake. Some of these things which we are raising emanated from your own input, because we asked you, when did you realize on 1, 2, 3? You said you realized some of these challenges long ago. You said long ago. And then why were you staying with them instead of maybe bringing some of to our attention or to 1, 2, 3? If there is a law which is supposed to be amended, or what is supposed to be brought to us, that's when we started to ask you questions. Not to say that we're not clear about constitutional impediments. And also we are fully aware about those private sectors which have being the pipe from Mozambique to Swaziland and other, I mean, everywhere in the country, because coincidentally, as a team, we travel everywhere. And then lucky, we serve again in the Select Committee of Public Enterprise. Here's the chairperson. We know exactly. So I was just highlighting to you that please, don't touch peace. Because if time allows us, I was going to open for them to start to ask some questions. Because some people, when they come and present, they are not aware that we read some of the things and we consult. And some of the things, we are from the constituency. That's where we learn that this thing is happening. So please, next time, don't stick too much to constitutional impediments. We know it. We are clear. And what is worrying us, if you realize the thing long ago and you stay with it, at the end you tell us that it's really doesn't work, never worked, hey, it's another contradiction which needs us maybe to 1, 2, 3. By saying that, thank you very much to the department as well as the members and everybody who's here. And the meeting is still adjourned. But I request that Luli and some of the members, some of the members to remain behind and stuff.
Thank you.